I want you to be praying for Dr. Lou Baldwin as he comes to preach in just a moment. I'd like for Dr. Baldwin's family to stand if they would. I saw his wife and, of course, and some of the young people. And we're glad you're here. God bless you. Met Michael a moment ago. That's good. And Dr. Baldwin is an unusual man. He's a businessman and a very successful one that God called into the ministry. And no arguments, no qualms with God about it, just wholeheartedly in it. And he started a church, I think, 30 years ago, and now is turning over the reins to his son, Brother Kenny, this fall. But he's been mightily used of God. I've watched him, watched his life, preached with him and for him. I admire his ministry, his thoroughness, his heart for God, his passion for souls. And he's encouraged me greatly. And many of you could say the same thing, couldn't you? He's going to come and preach in just a moment. Brother Greg's going to sing with the choir before he comes. Now the song, Since I Met Jesus.
I was lost in my sin, with no hope or peace within. Lost in darkest night, stumbling on down my way, with a debt I could not pay. With no hope in sight, since I met Jesus, He has given life to me. Now the Lord up above calls to you in tender love, waiting patiently. Won't you give the Lord all your cares? Leave behind your past despairs, for He will set you free.
Thank you very much for the special music. It's certainly a joy to be able to be back here at Temple Baptist Church, Crown and College. Thank you, Dr. Robertson, for the wonderful challenge from the Word of God. Appreciate you over the years, the blessing you've been to my son Kenny for having him play as a little boy and then sing and then preach there at your meeting. And I certainly thank God for you. I thank the Lord for my wife and my son Michael and my grandson Cameron and his sister that are here. Cameron turned 16, I believe, here in a few days. And of course, Laura, who makes Michael what he is today, and that's certainly a joy. And thank God for my family and what they mean to me. I want to thank Dr. Clarence Sexton and the Temple Baptist Church, Crown College. I certainly appreciate the opportunity and this Friends International meeting. I think Dr. Sexton is one of the great gentlemen I've ever met in all of the world, not to mention I believe he's one of the great leaders in our independent Baptist movement, and I certainly thank God for him. And I want to say personally and publicly, I certainly support the effort of furthering the gospel, getting the truth around the world, and I think we ought to be friends enough to do it. And there's certainly a great need in world evangelization, and we certainly need to work together to be able to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have always enjoyed coming to Crown College Temple Baptist Church. I don't ever remember a time where Dr. Sexton has told me what to preach. He's always encouraged me to be able to share my burden, and he's always been very supportive of that burden. And I certainly appreciate the liberty that's been given me over the years to preach the Word of God here. And I certainly thank God for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for your hospitality, and thank you for the way you make us feel anytime we come here to this place, and God certainly has used it over the years. And I believe this is just the beginning of what he's going to do in the future. I want you to pray. I know a number of you have prayed for me, and I personally want to thank you. I certainly need the prayer. I'm looking forward to enjoying this week. And enjoying the preaching and the singing and the fellowship time. And I'm certainly going to enjoy it a lot better once I finish preaching tonight and get all the pressure off me. And then I can sit back and just enjoy what God has for us to be able to gain this week. I want you to take your Bibles tonight, and I want you to turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 26. Psalm 26. And once you find your place, if you'd be kind enough to stand, I want to read a few verses here. I'll read this psalm tonight and share with you what God's laid upon my heart. I have earnestly prayed and asked God to help me to be able to preach tonight. It's never a problem for a preacher preaching a sermon. It always takes God for a preacher to preach a message. And I would rather not be here at all than to preach something that would dampen the spirit of this wonderful meeting where people have prayed and planned and looking forward to a great time. So I need your encouragement. And when I pray in a few moments, if you would, as many of you have done already, pray with me that God might use me in a special way. Psalm 26, beginning in verse number 1. Judge me, O Lord. For I have walked in mine integrity, I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I've hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, and I believe privileged, to be able to gather together here this week, to be able to focus our attention upon truth and build friendships that we can work together to reach a lost and dying world in the furtherance of the gospel. And I pray, dear God, that you would bless this meeting in a very special way. Thank you for the message we've already heard, the music that we've heard. And now I pray that you take me as your servant. I pray, dear God, that you might cleanse me of any sin, empty me of self, then fill me with thine Holy Spirit. Help me to preach the word of God tonight. And I'll thank you and praise you for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I was saved by the grace of God July 22nd, 1976, when I heard the gospel preached in a fundamental independent Baptist church from the precious word of God. I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ immediately after I was saved. 2 years later, July 16th, 1978, God called me to preach the gospel. And I want us to understand that when God called me, he called me to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he specifically laid upon my heart, as he does men all over the world and servants all over the world, to be able to reach a people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, I'm still a firm believer that it's the will of God that all of us have what we have here at this place and around the world. And God laid that upon my heart. And immediately, as a Christian who wasn't more than a couple of years old, I started getting excited. And I started talking to my preacher friends and telling them, God's called me to preach and God's led me to be able to go and plant a church like this church in Black America to see people reach with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lil and I know as an on fire preacher. I mean, not a black preacher, but a fundamental preacher who happened to be black. An independent Baptist that loved the principles of the word of God. And I didn't understand it, didn't have any particular interest necessarily in which God had shared with me, but I knew God had told me to do something. And I started talking to preacher friends and people about the need. I remember at that time getting counsel. You know, you start sharing something different than someone wants to counsel you to make sure you haven't gone off the deep end. And I remember sharing that. I remember going to some of my other black preacher friends and sharing that, and there was some criticism. There was some counsel. I even found that time there was some condemnation, all because of something different being done at that time. That was in 1978. You find counsel and different opinions and thoughts and misunderstandings in all of those things. And by the way, don't look at me as if this is something strange. We all know that's what we are, because we're people. And we've learned that all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. So we all tend to see things a little bit different. This particular time, as I went through that for a number of years. Now it's 2011. And I was thinking as I was preparing to preach here, here I am this past Sunday, I turned 65. My son Kenny, born on my birthday, gave me his 32nd birthday present. He was born on my birthday. And what a wonderful present that was. And I find myself now, I've turned 65 years of age. I've been married to the same lady this coming Friday, 45 years. What a difference she's made in my life. I've also raised two sons that are preachers, pianists, and singers. I can preach a little bit, but I can't sing, Brother Bobby, at all. Neither can I play the piano. But I raised two sons to do that. Raised a daughter that loves God and serves faithfully in the work of God. For 33 years, I've been a fundamental independent Baptist Christian. And what a joy it is to do that. Coming up this September, I have started by the grace of God and pastored the same church for 30 years. I've had the privilege to see this church be involved in starting some 27 other churches around the United States, including one in Ghana, West Africa, and one in Nassau, Bahamas, and one in across the ocean that God has allowed us to do. I found myself here preaching on that which is dear to my heart, church planting in Black America, in colleges, in Bible conferences, in churches, and so many other different places since God laid that upon my heart in 1978. For 18 years, God has led us to lead a national meeting, a church planning meeting among Black Americans. For 18 long years, we've done that. And though we have fine-tuned it a little bit and changed some things, what was laid on my heart back in 1978 is still there today. I believe without a doubt that every people group in the world needs a good, fundamental, Bible-believing, independent Baptist church. And I personally believe this, you may not, and you may not understand that, but I believe that God in heaven, who knows all, sees all, understands all, raises up people to lead these kinds of endeavors to reach people that he died for the whole world. So it's not a strange thing that God would lead me to do something like that. And it's not a strange thing that when you see men that are raised up all over the world, and by the way, God does things with men. He has always done that. He builds churches with men. He starts movement with men. And we've got to understand that's the work of God. That's the purpose of God. So over those years of trying to explain and share and get a burden out, as a person, sometimes you become a little bit discouraged or defeated. And you've got to understand, I know God put something on my heart. And you say, I've got to find something that's going to keep me understanding that which I can't explain, that which I can't always share, that which I can't always get people to see. I've got to keep going because one day on July 16th, 1976, the God of heaven reached down and touched the heart and said, this is your calling. This is your purpose. This is what I want you to do the rest of your life. So I've got to stay on that purpose. So I asked the Lord to help me. Give me something that would keep me focused. In 1993, I was reading in my devotions through the book of Psalms. And I came across this particular psalm here. Verse number one, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Now, I thought after reading that psalm, what a great preaching phrase. Therefore, I shall not slide. A preacher can and often does have a great time with this phrase, I shall not slide. For instance, I could preach tonight on I shall not slide into compromise. That'd make a good sermon. I could preach tonight, I shall not slide because of criticism. That's a pretty good message to be able to preach. I could stand here to preach, and many others could as well. I shall not slide because of my convictions. I could just take that phrase, add something to it, and preach. The problem is that word therefore. Now we preachers say, when there is a therefore, see what it is there for. The psalmist didn't just say, I shall not slide. He says, therefore I shall not slide. There's indicated something there that goes before I shall not slide. In other words, there's something that's happening in my life. There's something that puts me in a position that whatever comes my way, I shall not slide. After reading a number of writings of others, I learned that the psalmist David may have penned this psalm at a time when a certain incident had taken place just after becoming king over Israel, shortly after the death of Saul. We know the tension that occurred between the house of David and the house of Saul. Saul had been killed by the Philistines, and David had been anointed as king of Judah, and Saul's son Ishbosheth is now reigning over the tribes of Israel. Two of Ishbosheth's servants beheaded their leader and took his head to David, assuming they would be rewarded. Instead of rewarding them, David, because of the kind of man of God he was, had one of his servants kill both of them. Many may have assumed. I mean, you know what's went on between David and Saul. Maybe David is the one who put them up to do this. Maybe David is somehow behind this. Maybe David is the one that really orchestrated what took place. Here in this psalm, David pleads his defense. He doesn't claim to be a man of perfection, but he certainly pleads not guilty. His defense was based on three things as I read this psalm. It was based first upon his relationship with Almighty God. In other words, he's saying, I walk with God and I live with God. I carry on a relationship with God that no matter what someone may say or what you may appear to be, I serve a God who really sees exactly where I am. I shall not slide. I think he points out in this psalm, as we'll see in a few moments, that he had a relationship with people. In other words, he had people around him that were not the kind of people that were going to lead him to do something as foolish as that. And I believe thirdly, he says in here, I love the house of God. The house of God had a purpose and had a position in his life that would not allow him to be guilty of such a heinous crime. David shows in this psalm, preachers, missionaries, leaders, Lou Baldwin, all the rest of us, we've got to come to the point in our life that I know what God has called me to do. I know what God has led me to do. I know how I stand with Almighty God. I know how I stand with people. I know how I stand with my local church. And no matter what may happen, what it appears to be, what may be said, what may be done, therefore, because of my relationship with God, and my relationship with people, and my relationship with the house of God, I shall not slide. I learned that 18 years. There's never been a year that somebody hadn't counseled me about what I do to try to reach Black America. There's never been a year that somebody doesn't challenge me. There's never been a year that somebody doesn't criticize me. There's never been a year that somebody doesn't have something to say about what you're doing that you know that God led you to do. And we've got to learn as preachers, as leaders, as men that's going to do something for God. It makes no difference. I shall not slide. I want us to look at this for just a few moments here tonight. Gathered around this world, including where we are tonight, there are men of God seeking to do the work of God, seeking to be in the will of God, being led by Almighty God. We may not look alike, think alike, do things alike, but God's in the habit of raising up leaders, raising up people to reach people. And if you've come to the point in your life where you're going to run and quit and give up because somebody doesn't agree with you, somebody doesn't share your burden, somebody doesn't see it the way you see it, you need to back up and say, let me tell you something. There's a God in heaven. He sees it. Let it roll. Let it come. Let it be. I've so walked with God and dealt with people and stand before the house of God that no matter what comes my way, I shall not slide. I will not become what you think or what you say because of what God knows. Now, with that long introduction, let me quickly give you 3 points why I believe that David didn't slide and why, after all of these years, if you hear me preach today, I'm still preaching the same thing I preached in 1978. 33 years later, I'm still saying there's a need. I'm still saying I know what God has led me to do. I know more today than ever before. Not only do I have it hid in my heart, but I've got evidence of seeing what God has done. And let me tell you something. The criticisms haven't stopped. The misunderstandings haven't stopped. The confusion hasn't stopped. But I'm not going to slide. I shall not slide. And while I'm on this, Baptist Friends International, it should not be shocking to us that God raised up a man to lead a movement like this. It also should not be shocking that criticisms will come and misunderstandings will be there and people will be different, but there's no reason to slide. Now, how is it that David could say, I shall not slide? Number one, he had a pure conscience before God. No, he's saying, look at what it says in verse number one. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. He said there in verse number 11, but as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. And by the way, he's asking for vindication, but he's not asking God to vindicate him in the eyes of people. He said, God, vindicate me in my heart to let me know I'm doing what you told me to do. And as long as I have that full assurance, you may never get anybody to agree with you. You may never get anybody to follow you where you want to. But God, vindicate. Judge me. In other words, test me out. Examine me. Cross-examine me. And when it's over, help me to be assured as the day you called me that I'm doing what you told me to do. Pure conscience before God. You see, God gave him divine vindication. And let me tell you something. That's the same thing that Job did in Job 23 and Job 31 when all of his friends looked at him and he was suffering. They said, Job, you know your problem. You need to get right with God. He said, oh, that I knew where I might find him. If I could find God, God would examine me and God would testify that I'm a man of integrity. And that's what it takes to keep going. That's what it takes to lead something. That's what it takes to accomplish something. If God raised you up to reach Spanish people or reach overseas or go to a place where nobody else has gone, if God vindicated in your heart, don't slide. Don't slide. He appealed to God and had that full assurance. He said, God's acquainted with every situation. God's aware of every step that I take. God knows I've accepted his precepts. I've put the things of God ahead of my own things. When trouble comes and doubts begin to slip in and criticism show up and someone tries to lead you in another direction, appeal to God and say, God, I need a little vindication. I need to know, as you judge me, as you examine me, as you cross-examine me, I need that little assurance in my heart that I'm doing what you told me to do. And when you get that pure conscience, go for it. Let it rip. Do what God told you to do. But you don't understand. The criticisms are there. The counsel is there. And people don't see it. Let it rip. He sees it. He sees it. It'll keep you going. It'll keep you going. Give that a full assurance. He said, I have walked in thy truth. Therefore, I shall not slide. I shall not slide. I won't become what you think I am. I won't become what you assume. I'm just what God sees. I've walked in his truth. And he'll testify to my character of being with him. Secondly, David said, I shall not slide because he had a pure conscience before God. But secondly, he had the proper companions around him. Now picture this. David and Saul didn't get along. But David didn't hang around with people trying to turn him against Saul. He didn't hang around with haters of godliness. He didn't hang around, as it said, with these dissimulars, these hypocritical people who were always concealing things. I didn't hang around with those kind of people. Amen. He didn't hang around with people who had habits contrary to God. He said, I didn't hang around with those kind of people. Now, he didn't say, like we say sometimes, he didn't say, I didn't hang around people that are different than me or don't see things exactly the way I see things. He said, but I didn't hang around people that anti-God, hate God, and trying to destroy the works of God. Listen, there are a lot of good people in this world that love God, and love the word of God, and love the work of God. And David said, I don't have a problem with those kind of people. He didn't have a problem with Ziba. Remember Ziba, one of Saul's servants? Mephibosheth? He didn't have problems with those kind of, they weren't on the same page all the time. But he had a problem with that. He hung around people that love God and love the work of God. You know, if I hung around only people that see things like I see, I'd be by myself all the time. I don't agree with anybody. And you don't either. Because you think your way is the perfect way. But he hung around people that loved his
God.
Oh, you can do something with those kind of people. You give me somebody that loves God. Let me tell you something. They don't have to necessarily be just like me, but they love God, and they love the Word of God, and they love the people of God, and they love the things of God. We can do something for a world that's lost without Jesus Christ. Amen. We can further the gospel. Amen. And he said, you never found me inviting one of those people out there were hating Saul. No. When those fellows came and brought Ish-bosheth head, they're thinking that I'm going to back them up. No way. You know what David said? I know who gave me the crown. And I don't need some devious way to do what God's told me to do. I don't need that. So he hung around people. And by the way, we won't have time tonight. You look over in Philippians chapter 1 when Paul talked about furthering the gospel. You'd find that everybody wouldn't like Paul. But if they're furthering the gospel, that's a pretty good thing. You can kind of befriend them a little bit. I shall not slide because he kept a pure conscience before God. God help me. This is so, and I'm not kidding when I say this. It's more important to me of what God thinks of me and sees in me than what you think. I love people, want to be around people, but there's a God that I really believe sees all, knows all, and keeps all. And then lastly, I believe David said, I shall not slide, because he kept a pure conscience before God. He had the proper companions around him. And thirdly, because of the position of the house of God to his life. Look what he said in verse number 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. You know, chapter 27, look down there, verse number 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David loved the house of God. I mean, it was a place where he said, I want to keep this place pure. It's a place where I can fall on my face with my people and pray to Almighty God. It's a place where I can praise Almighty God. It's a place where Jesus Christ, God Almighty, is always preeminent. That's the local New Testament church. And when I surrendered in 1978, I surrendered to be an independent Baptist. You know what that tells me? When I preach someplace, I go someplace, I talk to somebody, they criticize me. You know where I want to get back to in a hurry? 5811 Hoffman's Lane, Bailey's Crossroads, Virginia, where the God of heaven has made me pastor. When I land Friday night and one of my deacons picked me up and takes me back, and Sunday morning I step in the Crossroads Baptist Church, there won't be one challenge, one criticism, one problem, one question. They'll say, we're glad to have Pastor home. How can I slide when I'm an independent Baptist preacher of a local church where people love me, support me, stand behind me? We have forgotten that we are independent Baptists. We don't necessarily have to be exactly alike. we're independent Baptists. Where Jesus is preeminent and I'm the under shepherd is back in Bayless Crossroads, Virginia. And all of these years, wherever I've gone, whatever I've said, and all the criticism, I've never had to worry about it at Crossroads Baptist Church. That helps me. That helps me. Wherever I go, whatever I do, never to slide. I'm not responsible for Temple Baptist Church. I'm not responsible for the church down the street or the church over here. I'm responsible for Crossroads Baptist Church. And I love being a place where I can be encouraged, where I can be strengthened, where I can stand for God. And it doesn't matter to me if this choir doesn't sing like my choir. Matter of fact, you ought to bring somebody down here. We'll help. No, I'm just kidding. It doesn't matter. When I go back to Crossroads, that's the place of all the places. I love Temple Baptist Church. I love Crown College. I love a lot of places I've been. But I don't love any place better than I love Crossroads Baptist Church. I'm an independent Baptist, and the mercy and grace of God was bestowed upon me that He gave me the limited ability I have for 30 years to pastor people that follow me, listen to me, learn from me, and guess what? Love me. So how in the world can anybody cause me to slide if I keep a pure conscience before God? Amen. The people around me are people that love God, called of God, being used of God, that I can learn something from. And then if I ran across one that didn't speak to me the right way and didn't kind of irritate me a little bit, I'm on a plane Friday morning. And guess where I'm going? Back to a place that I love, where I can just do what I enjoy doing more than any other place. That helped me. It helped me to understand my job is not to try to straighten people out and correct people and get them to be just like me. Or even, you think I'm going to give up trying to church plant in black America because I haven't been as successful as I thought I ought to be, have been in the movement that I think is the greatest movement on the face of the earth? You think that has slowed me down? Not one second. Because you know what? On a regular basis, I say, judge me, O Lord. Examine me. Vindicate in my heart like you did 33 years ago. That I'm doing what you have called me and led me to do. And God, you give me an old sinner that hates God and hates the work of God and hates the people of God. You don't have to worry about me hanging around them. But you give me somebody that loves God, loves the work of God and call of God. Have no problem being a friend. And the Crossroads Baptist Church is dear to my heart. It's a place where I try to keep pure. It's a place where we learn how to pray. It's a place where we can praise Almighty God. It's a place where Jesus is preeminent. This coming July, we'll have our 18th conference, and we'll advertise, we'll put it on the website, and we'll get, as we always do, some criticisms, some opinions, some misunderstandings, something we don't say right, something we don't do right. But guess what? We're not going to slide. We're going to keep on doing what God's raised up us up to do. All over this world, God's raising up men to lead movements, to start churches, to give their lives to the Lord, to help reach billions of people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you can look up to God and know what you're doing with a pure conscience, then let the circumstances be what they may be. You just determine, because of my relationship with God, my relationship with people, and my position of the local church, I shall not slide. I hope that'll help you this week. Let's have a meeting where we determine, when it's all said and done, we've gained some things to help us, but none of us will slide away from what God has called us to do, called us to be. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for the privilege to be called of God, to be involved in the work of God. And I pray, dear God, in these difficult days in which we live, the world is dying and going to hell. We need leaders. I personally thank you for Dr. Clarence Sexton. I believe, without a doubt, you have led him to do what he is doing. And I pray, dear God, that we will certainly lift him up. I pray you will surround him with friends that will pray for him, encourage him, support what he's doing. That together, for the furtherance of the gospel, we can reach a world for Jesus Christ. I pray for every preacher here, every missionary, every person that you have called, that you have raised up, that you have led, for every Bible student here. God, I pray that you'll help them to keep a pure conscience before God and determine that nothing is going to cause them to slide. I ask you these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.